So every Sunday, Alistair, Stephanie, Kieran, or I do something strange up here. We read 2,000 to 3,000-year-old text. I'm going to leave my mask alone here on the side. We read these 2,000 to 3,000-year-old texts and try to draw meaning from them for our contemporary lives. That's super weird, no? There's no obvious reason to believe that texts from pre-modern cultures have anything to say to our postmodern or our post-postmodern lives. Still, that's what we do. Why should we persist? Before I attempt to answer that question, let me ask you another. What scripts do you live by? All of us, without exception, live our lives by drawing on scripts of some sort. It could be the script of middle-class success, lovely or handsome spouse, 2.2 kids, a golden retriever, and a house with a fabulous garden. Or you might be trying to live the another cultural script of being a fiercely independent artist trying to break free from that other middle-class script. With or without our consent, such scripts shape our lives. They tell us what sorts of lives are worth living and worth aiming for. We get free not by trying to abandon all scripts. That's not really an option. But by entering into a complicated and, when necessary, disruptive dance with them. So, what are we preachers doing on Sundays? I think we are trying to interrupt contemporary scripts by reading them against ancient scripts and scriptures. What would our lives look and feel like if, instead of following the script of middle-class success, we tried to live inside the script of being followers of a non-violent, rabble-rousing, working-class carpenter from ancient Galilee? What would happen if we tried to follow that very old script in this contemporary moment? Would it make us misfits? Is living the Jesus script in 2021 even doable? Now, if you're under the impression that I'm going to answer all those questions this evening, you might be smoking substances we preachers are not supposed to know about. Sometimes I think the preacher's job is just to ask annoying questions. Jesus' contemporaries had a hard time figuring him out because he made it a habit to shake up his culture scripts in creative ways. In today's gospel, he does just that. Jesus is in his hometown, and some folks bring a paralytic before him. To that paralytic, Jesus says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The effect is dramatic. The scribes who wield power are shocked and consider him a blasphemer. Why? Only God can forgive sins. For Jesus to forgive suggests that he might be claiming equality with God. Talk about shaking up old scripts. Then, to confirm that he does have that authority, Jesus cures the man's paralysis. We've seen how the scribes react. They get quite upset. But how do the ordinary folk react? Listen to this line from our reading. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to human beings. The crowds are not threatened. They don't even think of Jesus' action as somehow about his unique power and special status. Their response is surprising and unpredictable. The crowds conclude that if Jesus can forgive sins, it must follow that God has given all human beings, not just some special ones, but to all the power to forgive each other. The reading of the crowds is radically democratic. The crowds conclude that the power to forgive no longer belongs to God alone, or even to the scribes and others who hold authority in the temple, but even to ordinary folks like you and me. When we read this story, this script, and let it take hold of us, it becomes part of the script we are trying to live out. How will we exercise the awesome authority to forgive sins? And who should we forgive? Under what conditions is forgiveness possible? Can we forgive those who have not asked for our forgiveness? And who haven't even done the work of repair? Let's turn that question around. How about us? Do we merit forgiveness from those whom we have wronged, especially when we've done little of the repair work ourselves? These are hard questions to struggle with as we prepare to observe the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. But you see how reading this script, this snippet from the Gospel, this scripture, and letting it shake up our lives does its work. It's inconvenient, it's troubling. Thanks to Jesus' words and deeds, these questions are now ours to wrestle with. Jesus shook up things then, and he still continues to shake up things today. To live with Jesus in our script means that we cannot remain complacently within a comfortable status quo, ignoring questions about how we might move toward a reconciled life with indigenous peoples. What a troublesome teacher and Messiah. May God grant us the courage to wrestle honestly with these questions. And may the Great Spirit empower us to amend our lives and bear fruit worthy of repentance, truth, and reconciliation. Amen.